This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers. Jason Moore is here. Mike Wright, present, accounted for. I'm Andy Holloway. Happy to have you with us. We've got a good show for you today. It's going to be fun to hang out.
Great show.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I was worried.
That was close.
I was like,
that was close.
Is this just a good show?
I thought our goal was to lay down a bunch of mid to good, so that way later,
when we get to like the football season, we're peaking.
That's what I'm saying. Are you willing to commit? Are you willing to commit to that?
All right, let's take it down a notch.
No,
I'm in.
You're in.
Yeah, I'm just.
He's been in for a while. If you noticed,
I've been in for about 9 years. I only do good.
Okay, well, I'm going from great to excellent. So,
so we're doing great shows, and then you're going to jump it up to excellent, which me and Jason can't get there.
It is a bar you cannot clear.
Speaking of not excellent, I mean, I'm looking at the back wall of our studio today, and I'm seeing this.
What's not excellent?
This happy-go-lucky Justin Jefferson on the back wall, and then I'm thinking about these rumors of Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta.
He's so happy in that picture.
Yeah, he looks like he's just got his whole future ahead of him.
It's okay, man. Russ is out there as a free agent.
Yeah, so like I said, he looks so happy back there. And, you know, I guess money will make him happy, right? Because he's going to get a bunch of that.
Yes, he will get the cash.
So, yeah, that was, you know, we'll talk about a number of news items, but that is one that's come out is, you know, whether Kirk Cousins goes back to Minnesota. And I started to have a bit of a change of heart there.
Oh, no. Did the Florio report get you?
It wasn't the Florio report. It was taking a step back and recognizing what a 35-year-old off of an Achilles, Kirk Cousins, you know, it's so easy to just like kind of put the default Kirk Cousins forward as the standard. And it's like, what if like Minnesota would be right not to overpay him? Like if he's not himself, like, it's not like Kirk Cousins has been, it's not Mahomes. All right.
Sure.
I think Kirk Cousins is a very underrated, high quality.
He's a starting quarterback,
top 12 actual talent quarterback starter.
I would,
but you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, basically, you know, there were a lot of questions when the Seahawks got rid of Russell Wilson of like, you know, but they knew, they were like, yeah, this is fine. We're not paying. We know what's the writing that's on the wall. We're not going to pay that contract. But the difference here is that they knew they were working with Russ. They saw what Russ was doing. This is totally different. You can't know. Like the last we saw Kirk, he was great. And then he got injured.
Yes. I guess I just mean there's a percentage chance that if they brought Kirk Cousins back, we look back in 2 or 3 years and say, you know, maybe that wasn't the like, now they're having to restart the quarterback position in Minnesota, and like Justin Jefferson's career is going to be much longer than Kirk Cousins. And so it was my first time kind of thinking through that and saying, well,
basically thinking as a Viking general manager, you opened the window to maybe that actually isn't best for our franchise.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct. Yeah, and like, you know, some legends at the wide receiver position, they obviously have gone through multiple quarterbacks. Larry Fitzgerald had his day in the sun, and he had, the heyday with Kurt Warner, and then
seasons we don't speak
of. And then you had like the John Skelton years, but then you got like Kevin Cobb, and then Carson Palmer comes back around, and like I just wonder in the long view. Like
Larry Fitzgerald had a 3-season stretch. Let's see here, 16 games, 798 yards. 16 games, 954. 14 games, 784. I mean, that's in the prime of his career, and then had the Carson Palmer resurgence.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's going to turn out. We're going to find out soon.
It comes down to how long of a contract does Kirk Cousins want? To me, if I'm the Vikings manager, I'm willing to take the gamble because I know what my quarterback position looks like, and I don't remember the source of the rumor where it was starting. It might have been me. I could have started this rumor that one of their ripcords is trying to trade for Trey Lance. So, I mean, that's where you are if you don't get Kirk Cousins back.
That's true. But then
I'll give Kirk a 2-year.
That makes sense. But if you flip it the other direction, you look at Atlanta with young Bijan, young Drake London, young Kyle Pitts, brand new head coach, and you say you don't want them to end up in the Russell Wilson situation where they're the Denver, right? They pick up a Kirk Cousins who's not 100% healthy.
Oh, sure.
So give them a year to be 100%, you know, or whatever. Maybe this year's not. Then he's 36.
Atlanta.
I mean, it should be fine, but it just kind of.
You have to
reset again in 3 years in Atlanta when you've got the number 8 pick and you could take J.J. McCarthy potentially.
Yeah, sure.
Then do you know, Denver wishes they would have drafted a quarterback. I mean, I just saw, because Russell Wilson's going to be gone, and it's Jarrett Stidham, right?
Yep.
And so Jarrett Stidham is the guy until he's not the guy in Denver. And they would have been better off finding a way to start Jarrett Stidham 2 years ago in Denver. That's the truth.
With the knowledge that we have right now. Yeah.
So it's a tough game. I mean, obviously, you don't win without a quarterback. But whether Atlanta's got that money they want to send out for Cousins, they believe in the rehab, guess we'll find out very, very soon. But before we get into things, got a quick question special for you guys today. Reminder, the Ultimate Draft Kit, you can pre-order it now at ultimatedraftkit.com. If you get the UDK Plus, you get instant access to the Dynasty Pass, which includes now premium articles this entire offseason, big-time articles, right? Meaty.
Yeah, they are meaty. They are substantive, if that is even a word.
That's 100% a word.
Fantastic.
You even pronounced it right.
And it's currently receiving the post-combine update. So some of the rookie rankings are being adjusted. Some of the startup rankings are being adjusted.
New mock draft.
New mock draft just hit there as well. So it's always improving.
So
and Kyle's. So in my top 10 things to remember, I was highlighting some thresholds for yards per route run and talk about wide receivers. And, you know, it's in the context of the podcast, so I have, you know, a couple minutes for my monologue. And there is a beast of an article right now written by the Kyle Borghogan talking about the wide receivers and really fleshing it out.
I believe it clocked in as a 27-minute read.
Possible.
So
I did it.
Yeah, every word?
I put in the work.
All right.
Yeah.
Too long, didn't read.
It was pretty long.
Yeah, well,
it's good information.
Jason's
is that
like,
on Audible yet? Or
Jason's like, whoa, is that, hold on. Is that two sentences? Too long.
It's a good article. It talks all about some things we hinted at on the show about young first and second year wide receivers, targets per route run data, and what has proven itself true in the majority of cases over a long period of time. So you can make great decisions regarding your dynasty wide receivers. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, Mike, you're now 41 years young and you haven't tried substantive on for size until now. So congrats on that new vocabulary.
Well, it's like
draft pick.
When I'm speaking, sometimes, you know, you say words 'cause in your head you go, that makes sense. And then you find out it wasn't a word.
Oh, so this was the opposite.
I was throwing it out, and we landed safely.
I wanted to thank the Foot Clan for all the support over on the podcast platforms. Every time you review the show over there, you help us out a lot. It's just a quick and easy way to, you know, help us with the algorithms and building the show. I mean, the Foot Clan is responsible for everything that we've been able to build, your listenership, your support. And so when you do those little things that make a big difference on the platforms, we really appreciate it. We do read those reviews. They come through to our Slack channel, and we see them. So thank you, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you subscribe over on YouTube. So here's our quick question for the day. Okay. All right. We're doing a regressor impress. My mind is blown right now.
That video graphic is regressed. What's going on with the hat on my head?
Yeah. I mean, you look like you were at a Florida retirement home.
It looked like my head would have to be another 5 inches tall for that hat.
He has gotten taller, though.
I mean, it's happening, but I'm not there yet.
What I'm laughing at is the fact that this entire day, Al Borland has been singing, "You don't impress me much." And I thought this was from nowhere. And he's getting it in Papa Josh's head, who's mad at him. And no, it was from the quick question, apparently. But Jason.
Yes.
Regress or impress Dak Prescott? Does he have a top five finish in store for 2024?
If I've got to pick between regress or impress, I have to pick regress. You know, we've seen him have monster seasons before. Back in 2019, he was the quarterback two. You know, he can put it together. This last season, Mike had the great call of, like, the second half sleeper looked to be Dak Prescott. Part of that was because of the specific schedule that they were going to hit. Tough run defenses, really easy pass defenses, and it all came together. I think Dak is fantastic. I think he's talented. You know, his touchdown percentage wasn't outlandish. It was like 6.1. Looking back, it's like the last couple of years, 5.8, 6.2. He's right around there. So I don't think is absolutely, you know, a crazy outlier. He'll never be anywhere near as good as he was in 2023 again. But he's almost certain to regress because he was so hot and so fire the end of that season. It just doesn't make sense to keep that kind of a pace when you don't have the same schedule that lines up. So if I've got to pick between regress or impress, I think Dak regresses.
It was the quarterback one in that stretch, and it was from week six on. So it was a long run. When you look back historically, 2019, he averaged more points per game than he did this last year. That was that number two finish you alluded to. He finished at number six back in his rookie season at almost 18 points per game. How many quarterbacks did we have? I mean, Joe Burrow was knocked out of contention, right? Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert was knocked out of contention. Mm-hmm. Am I forgetting some other ones?
Mahomes, obviously, was
a down year.
Down year for Mahomes.
That's what makes it more difficult for me. Do I think that he could average 20 fantasy points a game next year? I do.
Kyler was gone for half
Kyler
a year.
Was gone. It's just whether that ends up being top five. That's a tough line, which is why this is a good question. And the house would be on the not being able to impress. But I'm going to go with impress. I think he sneaks in.
Okay.
I think he ends up quarterback four or five next year, bringing back the same recipe for success, one of the best wide receivers in the game, and currently no solutions at running back. I think it's all on his shoulders. He's going to redo the contract, and the numbers are going to be insane. And I think Dak's going to come back and sneak inside the top five.
He absolutely could be. We could go through the exercise of seeing.
Oh, what another real quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know you're going to have Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts above him,
mm-hmm.
right? So do you think he does better than Mahomes this next year?
I'll still say no.
I'll say no.
Lamar Jackson?
That's, yeah. Yeah, I'll go yeah.
A lot of groaning.
If you're yeah there, then I think impressive.
Is that
right.
going to work?
Because then you're talking about Burrow, Herbert, Kyler, maybe Anthony
okay.
Richardson.
Okay.
And he's in that tier.
Agreed. All right, Mike, where are you? Regress or impress?
I will take the field, even though I think he could certainly do it. He had a lot of things working for him, especially you know, like Tony Pollard's inefficiency at the goal line. We'll see what what they do at the running back position, but we don't have the linear schedule, but we do know who the opponents will be. And so I can just of course his division, you know, so the Giants, the Manders, and the Eagles will play them twice, but then we got the Saints, the Bucks, and the Lions. And these are home games. The Ravens.
Okay, those are pretty good so far.
The Ravens, the Bengals, the Texans.
Those are not as good.
We'll see. And then on the road, we have the 49ers, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Steelers, and the Browns.
It
feels middle of the road.
Yeah, I mean, so you went with the field.
Top five is just that's a lot.
I get it. Follow-up question. Will he be drafted as a top five fantasy quarterback?
No. I don't think so. I think that there will be people that are hot and bothered for certain names like Anthony Richardson, like CJ Stroud.
If Justin Fields landed in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be in that conversation. And so he could end up being a value in consecutive seasons.
All right, let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Michael Pittman, we talked about it on the last show, but it's official now, the franchise tag for Michael Pittman. They have yet to reach an extension agreement, but he is going to be a Colt. Dalton Schultz, we got one right so far.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
We all said he'd go back to the Texans, and he did.
I almost said batting 100. That's my baseball.
Oh, really? 100? Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that.
No, you want to be batting 1,000.
Normally for free agent predictions, batting 100 is about how it goes.
Right.
3-year, $36 million extension. He was actually the tight end 3 during a 7-week stretch in the middle of the season. He's a very good player. He's a very quarterback-friendly tight end for C.J. Stroud, and they had a ton of money, so this is just – it made a ton of sense.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah,
because
he bet on himself this
last year. I feel like he was really shunned in the free agent market. There were other tight ends not as good as him that were getting money, and then he couldn't find anything, so he bets on himself, does a one-year deal, and came through. Good for you, Dalton. The doctor got paid.
I wonder if you know this news yet, Jason, because it just broke, but Zach Ertz, a one-year deal with the Washington Commanders. All of us Dynasty Zach Ertz owners rejoice. We did it.
They dumped Logan Thomas to go get Zach Ertz.
It makes so much sense.
Because of Cliff?
Because of Cliff. Cliff Kingsbury peppered Zach Ertz with targets in Arizona. Ertz is still, I hate to break it to you, he's still very capable. He's certainly as capable, if not more, than Logan Thomas, who had relevance in Washington.
But
he was prior to the really bad knee injury he had. I mean, it's kind of like what you were talking about with Kirk Cousins. Maybe he doesn't come back as strong off the Achilles.
He already came back. I mean, the teams evaluated him, and he signed with the Lions. He just didn't get to play with them. At least in that regard, we have a lot more time. But,
yards,
I mean, he's not going to be meaningful. Let's just tell the truth.
Yeah. Yards after
catch.
It's
not going
to matter. Average. Yards after catch per game, over, under 2 yards.
Oh, under.
Okay.
After?
Yeah.
I don't
under.
Care if he runs with it. I want him to catch it. Dennis Pitta style. Just catch it in the breadbasket and go down. And he can do that.
He was
very, very good at doing that.
He had 2 games over 50 yards last year through 7 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I can say.
Irrelevant.
How'd Hollywood do? How'd Michael Wilson do?
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona was a bit of a mess. I mean, the year before, in his 10-game stretch.
Tell that to James
Conner.
It
was still at 80 catches. But, yeah, he's not going to be good. I don't know why I'm talking about him. I defend stupid players. Ian Rappaport talking about the fact the Broncos have not just informed Russell Wilson of his release, but they're allowing him to pursue his next contract ahead of time. A little bonus time for Russell to go talk.
Broncos country. We rode.
Oh man, yeah. Now,
contractually speaking,
do it.
We gotta get this in for Russ.
Oh,
unlimited diarrhea, unlimited.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
The
maximum quantity of contract diarrhea that you could possibly.
So the
have
Denver
made.
Broncos owe Russell Wilson $39 million. Now, that contract will be offset by whatever he has offered.
Yeah, like a veteran minimum.
So that will be a very fun game to play of how much do these teams want the Denver Broncos to eat it,
mm-hmm.
where and Russ included in that of like, I'm just going to take the veteran minimum. I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to collect $30+ million from the Denver Broncos, but it's a pretty crappy thing to do to a team.
Yeah,
that's
what
not going to happen. 0% chance.
But what if he did it with the Raiders, who are, I believe, the second highest odds right now of getting Russ in division, and be like,
I would. Yeah, I mean,
the gamesmanship. Sign a veteran minimum.
How do you, if you're
make
in
Denver,
divi-
pay
if you're
all
in
of
division,
the contract?
How do you not do it?
That's brutal.
Year
so,
one.
So wait, it's an. So he gets the same amount of money no matter what.
Correct. So he could.
Okay, I take back my 0% chance.
You can say year one, you make $5 million. I don't know.
Isn't
what the,
it weird
I don't know
to be in the
is.
Locker room and not making that money from that team? Isn't that a weird thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's a weird guy.
It's perfect for Russ.
In division starts to be, because that's a competitive advantage.
A major one.
If you're going to collect $40 million, no matter what, and it can come from the pocket of your opponent or your team's pocket, why wouldn't you?
So, yeah, I mean the new Broncos owners can laugh at this money, so it probably won't be an actual competitive advantage because it doesn't change the
cap number's the same, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But let's move on to more significant sad news. The Seahawks have released Will Dissly.
We still love you, Will.
Big Montana. Voted the greatest nickname of all time by the Foot Clan.
That was number one?
It was number one.
Because of this song.
The song certainly helps.
Right off into the sunset.
One last clap for Big Montana.
Look at that Deucer's Alley going.
We're all clapping? All right.
We miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
You'll find a new home, and we'll hit that button again. Big Montana.
Seahawks saved $7 million against the cap for
that's
that move.
That's a good amount.
Yeah, it is.
And CJ Uzomah, goodbye. The Jets have released him. He never made a mark there at all.
Okay, conk.
Yeah, he's gone. So, yeah, conk.
Yeah.
Conk.
If you believe in Aaron Rodgers, Tyler Conklin seems to be the only tight end around
currently. Did you call him a Titan?
A tight end. All right, quick break, and we'll be back with some more spectacular footballers. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, we're back and we're going to jump into the mailbag. Answer your questions, get you ready for whatever you've got going on. The free agency period. quickly approaching, dynasty trades, NFL draft, whatever you've got for us, we're going to answer them right now.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Yeah. Cha. Cha. We've got a lot of questions. No voicemails today. If you have a question, though, you can visit the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the Submit a Question button, or you can dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Instagram question from bblakely123. How does Puka rank among the 2024 rookie wide receivers? Jason is nodding.
It's such a good question.
So you just throw Puka in with the class. So Harrison and Neighbors and Odunze and you know,
mm-hmm.
Puka. So where does he rank? Where would you take him?
I believe I would, and I've wrestled with this one, because to me it's Puka is definitely above Neighbors and the rest.
Like, for you.
For me, yes. In my opinion, Puka has done it. He's shown it. I mean, he literally had the best rookie wide receiver season of all time. You can't ask for literally anything more than that. And so, you know, if you're taking a prospect, you're saying, well, I hope he's good, but no. I hope he's great. The only way it's better, because it's not even an age thing. It's not like, well, you get one more year. It's like Puka's a young guy. I think he's 22 right now. So I definitely have him above everyone, but I wonder with Marvin Harrison. I look and I go, you know, he's more prototypical. He's going to have that draft capital. You know, Matthew Stafford won't be around forever, and so I go back and forth there. But
so you think about putting Puka ahead of Harrison?
I think I do put Puka ahead of Harrison, but I think about putting Harrison ahead of Puka.
I have Puka 3. I would take Harrison and I would take Neighbors over Puka Nacua.
Wow. Oh, and three just in the rookie wide receivers. At first, I thought you were saying you got him as your third wide receiver overall, which I wouldn't blame you.
No, I was answering the question.
Yeah, yep. Makes sense.
I would put him three. You know, Puka had, yes, the best rookie season ever. It is not some sort of infinite upwards line for players based on their rookie season. I think Neighbors in any other draft in the last 10 years would be the number one pick at wide receiver, a top five pick. If Harrison wasn't in it, maybe not the Chase year. Chase might have been ahead of him. But Harrison is more prototypical. I like his long-term outlook season to season to be a dominator. So I'd put Puka 3. I look at Puka a little bit more through the lens of maybe what Anquan Boldin did. Anquan Boldin, one of his best seasons ever was his rookie season. He was a tried and true, great fantasy good output wide receiver for 15 years.
It's a great comp.
But I look at Puka more through that lens where I think there will be some ups and downs. It will come with quarterback change. I still think he's amazing. I mean, I could be completely wrong in that, but I would put him three.
The hardest part is just with both Marv and Neighbors, this is all speculation. This is all projection. So it is the best rookie season of all time. I get that maybe somehow one of those two guys ends up being a better player than Puka, but I think I would put Puka ahead. But now I'm trying to think, if I actually had the 101 in this year's rookie draft, would I just straight up trade it for
right,
Puka?
Exactly.
And
I would not do
it
that.
It might be a boat.
Let me change your perspective. Let me see if I can talk you into it, okay? He had the best rookie season ever.
Yep.
He finishes the wide receiver four.
He had 105 catches for 1,486 yards and six touchdowns.
Okay.
Okay, and so that was the best rookie season we've ever seen in terms of those
yardage,
numbers.
Yeah.
Those yardage, the yardage. But 105, 1,486, and six, like, that's a good season. That's like a really good season.
Wide receiver four.
But that's not necessarily, like, we've seen, like, Jefferson on a completely annual basis. Chase on a, I guarantee you, if you look at Chase's numbers over time, probably over the next 5 years versus Puka's, you're probably going to see higher touchdown totals, similar yardage numbers, if not better. Jefferson is probably going to be, what, 1,600 to 1,800 yards for the next 10 years. So that's how I'm looking at it, through the lens of, like, do I have a chance at getting – like, I think Harrison could be Jefferson.
But I guess
– So you trade Puka for Jefferson, right?
Yes, for sure, because we've seen it. We know what Justin Jefferson is on the NFL field. It's not projection.
Well, I mean, the field is – the fields are the same. They use grass and the same yard markers.
We've seen them on the NFL field, I mean, with different hash
marks. The markings are different in college.
I remember this conversation about Ja'Marr Chase, and that's why he went in the seventh round. Sometimes you just call a spade a spade. You know what's coming.
Well, sure, but the alternate arguments are there too. When Corey Davis was the fourth pick in the NFL draft and was this outlandish superstar that everybody loved, you just don't know. And today, if push comes to shove today, the hardest part is there is still a chance that the Patriots take Marvin Harrison. And so it's like, okay, even if he's a better prospect, well, now he's got no quarterback, and now he's, you know, maybe he'll get one a couple years from now, and, you know, so how many years do I have? And it's all for all of that is, let's say that Marvin Harrison hits, which I think he will hit, and that's why it's so tough. And let's say he hits to the degree of Justin Jefferson. He is Justin Jefferson. You're trading an extra 300 yards and, you know, three or four touchdowns for the chance. You know, it's not 100% guaranteed.
Well, yeah, but neither is Puka's rookie season to repeat.
Sure.
That's not guaranteed either.
It's not guaranteed, but I think it's a much higher hit rate. The we've seen it, you know, in all the analytical studies, the best predictor of future success is past success in the NFL.
And just a reminder, Jefferson was ADP-wise like the wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 in our dynasty drafts. That was Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb above Jefferson.
What's your point?
My point being, like, that year, it wasn't, you would have been like, you wouldn't have been looking at Justin Jefferson as this, the like, the number one overall dynasty wide receiver.
Like, neighbors could do what Jerry Jeudy did.
Yeah.
We just don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's a great question.
No, I knew it would be a competitive one.
When I was making my startup rankings for the UDK Plus, Puka was the most interesting name out there. I was like, man, what do you believe about him? Because is he great, or did he have a great season?
Yeah. Well, and yeah, that's why I brought up the Bolden comp, because that was his, I don't know fantasy-wise if it was his best year, but it was close. It was 100 catches. I think he had another year of 100 catches, but that was like year 3, and then the rest of his career he dominated, but it was much lower numbers. I mean, is Ja'Marr Chase's rookie season was his best, right? Like, Ja'Marr Chase's last two seasons don't come close to comparing to his rookie season.
Sure.
So it is a great debate. There isn't an answer right now. There's just opinion, and you've got him.
I think Marvin Harrison, if you're just talking talent, is more talented than Puka.
All right. Why don't you grab another question, Mike? Do you have the doc up?
Yeah, I've got it up here. this is a good one. For two people on this panel from off of IG from Corbin Clark. What's the cutoff for celebrating a championship? Draft day when a new champ is crowned, or death?
Well,
what does he mean?
I can answer the question because I was last year's champ and I know exactly when the cutoff is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's when you're out.
So when the new champ is crowned.
No. No, it's when you're out. So if you are the current champ. Yeah.
Oh, once the reign has ended, what you're saying?
As soon,
it wasn't when I won a title. It was when you were eliminated.
Exactly right. When I was eliminated, that's when I can't celebrate anymore because I know I'm not going to be the champ anymore.
You're not going to be, but you still are.
I get it.
I'm going.
I mean, when you're greeted by your co-manager, you guys every day for the whole year, hey champ, hey champ.
Yeah.
When that changed to ex-champ, did that change when you were eliminated?
No,
when I won.
No, that did change.
Okay, so I guess Mike is correct here because I was still greeting him as champ, and he was greeting myself as champ every day until you.
Death is a part of the answer, though.
Yes,
because you still have a championship,
right?
You remind us of.
Yeah, it's just
I barely remember, but you remind me.
I remember it so clearly.
Yeah.
But it was so long ago.
Yes, it was. It was back when Andy was not in his 40s.
The best part, I'm still not in my 40s. The best part of it is that I am trying to shorten your reign simultaneous to I will want to extend my own. So, like, sure. At the end of this, I'll be like, I'll be you.
Yeah.
Unless I win another one. All right. YouTube question from Caleb Travis, 1418. Who do you like more for a bounce back year with potentially lower average draft position after last year's disappointment? T. Higgins or Jaylen Waddle? Both were certainly disappointments relative to draft position. I think just all the vibes in general with those two guys were so positive going into the year, mm-hmm. and feel so negative right now. I still been reading about T. Higgins' trade rumors. Even though they franchised him, I've still been reading about that team considering a trade, or whether, you know, people speculating, not directly from Cincinnati. But either way, Waddle, Higgins, who's more likely to have the bounce back?
I think they'll both bounce back over where their current ADPs are. Right now, Jaylen Waddle on Best Ball is wide receiver 22, and T. Higgins is the wide receiver 28. I would put a dollar on both of them beating those spots, but I think the better value is T. Higgins. T. Higgins was really, really bad. I mean, obviously it's seen by his ADP being even lower than Jaylen Waddle's, and he hurt fantasy managers because he was hurt in a couple of games where he basically went out there, played a snap or two. You know, that counts as a game. So you look at a bunch of the metrics if you're like, oh, his per game stats.
Well, the snap or two wasn't as bad this year, but you have, let's see, the injury game in week four, about half the snaps. He comes back the next week, he plays about half. The final week of his season, week 17, he played 40%.
Yeah, so three games where he basically did not play half the game. Yeah.
But when you said you think he's the better value, you mean that he's going to be drafted lower?
I definitely think Waddle? T. Higgins will be drafted lower than Jaylen Waddle.
That's interesting, because I'd be more concerned about Waddle than Higgins in the sense that Waddle's season, like, he failed with the prescription, like with the recipe that they had. Mm-hmm. The quarterback was there, whereas, like, I can easily make the case that, like, you know, Burrow's healthy and Higgins is great. I mean, Tyler Boyd's gone. So I guess I was really curious where you thought they'd be drafted. Do we have the current ADP? Did you say that?
Yeah, so Jaylen Waddle's going six wide receiver spots ahead of Higgins right now. And I think that sticks. Yeah.
He's a better best ball player.
Sure, Waddle is. Yeah.
So they may be back-to-back in redraft.
I will be surprised if Higgins goes ahead, assuming he is a Bengal.
Mike, where were they last year in terms of redraft? Like draft?
Were they drafted? I think they
were like wide receiver. It was like wide receiver 12, 13, 14 between, I don't remember the order, but it was 12, 13, 14 with Waddle, Higgins, and Devonta Smith. Like the three.
So that would be, is that three disappointments?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think Devonta Smith was a.
Yeah.
The second round was atrocious this year.
Yeah, and that's where Olave was and.
As the resident burn victim from T. Higgins.
Oh, man.
Last year is, you can explain it away. And sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes you need to, what is the story of what happened? Where with Waddle, I don't think it's as easy to explain the ups and the downs. Where, like, last year to start the year, we all kind of forget Joe Burrow had the calf injury. The first four games for Joe Burrow, he scored 3.2 fantasy points. Week two against Baltimore, 15.4, has a good game. T. Higgins had a great game. Then the next 2 weeks for T. Higgins are terrible. Also, Joe Burrow in those two games, 8.2 points, 4.7. It took an entire month before Joe Burrow was finally recovered from the calf injury, and then T. Higgins got hurt. And then Joe Burrow went out for the season, and I had totally wiped from my memory. You guys remember week 15 and 16? T. Higgins was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver those weeks?
Chase,
because I didn't remember
Chase
those.
Chase gone those weeks? I believe he was gone.
Let me double check that.
Maybe not. Right now.
He was gone for one of them.
Okay. Right now, you have to choose between T. Higgins and Drake London. Who do you choose?
Higgins. If it's right now, I don't know who the guy. As of right now, I assume rookie quarterback.
Okay.
So with a rookie quarterback, I would go
Waddle or Drake London.
Waddle.
Okay. I wanted to do a little Drake London temperature taking.
Yeah, Drake London's...
I might be really in on Drake London.
I love it. I love it.
I might be real in.
The world needs Drake London to be good.
I think right now when you draft a player like Drake London, you are taking what one of Mike's things to remember. When the ADP is already baked in, the fear or the problems or the downside, which I don't know what his is off the top of my head.
Pull that up, Kyle.
For who?
For Drake London. But right now it's like the fear is baked in that he's going to have a bad quarterback.
26.
Yeah, exactly.
He's such a perfect target.
He is.
We can't talk about him.
He's a great target.
We have to use
right
a
now.
Code name.
Because wide receiver 26 seems like where
what's
about.
Something that comes from London that so people won't know. The queen.
Don't talk about the queen, yeah. Man. Come on.
You already did it once, yeah. Man.
The queen isn't here.
We could talk about Big Ben, and people think we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, you know?
No, that's too confusing. I'll get confused. Okay. I'll think you're talking about Big Ben Roethlisberger.
All right. Okay.
Meat pie. Bangers and mash.
What's
no,
everything?
That's
Ireland. What's
fish
what's
and
every
chips.
Generic thing we know about that country?
What if we just change his name to like
how about the West,
Drake France?
How about the West End?
Drac Paris.
The West End.
The
is
West
nice.
End?
Yeah, that's the Broadway of England.
Is it? See, of course you know that. Of course you know that. Yeah, have you been to the West End?
I haven't done a Europe trip. I haven't really been to Europe. I need to get over there.
Mm.
Live show.
Usually if you haven't done a Europe trip, you haven't done a Europe trip. Sorry. You just repeated yourself, and it was very funny to me.
I think Drake London, I think the problem is if they do land somebody, anybody has any kind of confidence in, he will be the
skyrocket.
He will be the most obvious breakout candidate possible. But if it is a rookie, that's when you start to get it gets interesting because we'll have the Stroud with Collins and Tank Dell template from last year. But if it's JJ McCarthy, you're telling me people aren't going to doubt Drake London? There's going to be huge doubt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mike's tip of saying if your ADP already has the negative baked in, which I think if J.J. McCarthy is their quarterback, Drake London will go about wide receiver 26. But if they go and sign Kirk Cousins, where's he top? Is he going to be like a...
It'll be like Garrett Wilson hype light from last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Over the last two seasons, London has posted 2.47 yards per route run in three wide receiver sets. And we bring that up because the new OC, Zach Robinson, is coming from the McVay system. So more wide receivers on the field. And we'll see if Drake London can do it.
He just needs the ball thrown near him. That's the big thing. YouTube question from that guy.
Hey, that guy.
I know that guy.
I'm thinking of making my league's trophy presentation to be like a wedding. I'd like the defending champ to be at the altar with the new champ. Okay. The last place team then walks the championship ring down the aisle.
Okay.
With the second to last place team scattering rose petals.
Okay. How
can the rest of the 12-team league be involved?
I will start by saying I've never heard this. I'm a little hesitant. I was sold. By the end of that paragraph, I am in. This is very funny.
I love
it. But how do we get?
I mean, I imagine second, third, fourth, and fifth are standing there like the best men.
You need some groomsmen, and then the rest of them you have to take aside. Like when you sit with the sit on the groom's side or the bride side.
Well, one of them's got to be the commish the. Like the pastor?
Yeah, the
like,
yeah.
But what if the commish is one of those four? You can't play both roles.
You still have to.
Then you hire a real pastor.
Also, I do feel like that now we're talking.
Yeah.
This is a sanctioned religious ceremony.
You pay the pastor to do a wedding, the regular rate, and you don't tell him what's going on till he gets there.
And you just say, stand right there. We don't need a rehearsal. Just stand. We just need you
I'm
to stand
I'm not sure
there.
I can wed a trophy and a man. All right, quick break.
You will do it, Reverend.
Back with another question. This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca.
I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, back into the mailbag. This question comes from Connor over on Instagram. Which player do you think will have a career resurgence in 2024? So that means that they need one. So it'd be easy to look at maybe Pollard. You could look at...
The name that comes to mind to me, it does not count because it is not a resurgence. Because he hasn't really
There hasn't
done
been a
it.
Surge.
It hasn't, but it's Kyle Pitts is he? I mean, his rookie season.
His rookie
was really
season
good.
Counts enough for yes. that to be
okay,
a resurgence.
Okay, it absolutely then I, does. Then I think Kyle Pitts could have a resurgence.
How about Stephon Diggs?
Man,
they believe it.
They do. A Matthew Berry's article from the combine talking about the team. They just look at him as their one.
Yeah. I hope so, but I'm gonna be. I've passed him in every single.
So you're out.
Draft. I'm out on Diggs this year.
It's crazy because like, Gabe Davis is gone. Stephon Diggs is the one for the one, right? He's the one for the number one quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah, he
was. That should be automatic.
It should.
Yeah, it really should. Have been automatic last half of last year.
Didn't Amari Cooper have really weird runs?
Oh
with
yeah,
Dak. Where he was like magma his hot life. Fire.
His whole career he would have. Yeah.
But then
he was real streaky.
But then like six games goes by and you're like, I mean, that's probably half of why they got rid of him. And then they're like, whoops.
It could be. Man, a full resurgence.
Zach Ertz in Washington, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Russell
Mark
Wilson.
Andrews is one name that you could bring up because I feel like.
All that takes is health. Just if he plays 16, he's resurgent.
That's something, though, for him.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's like...
100%, but that's the easiest bet to make.
He just is so low in our best ball draft. I mean, it shows you that...
Oh,
he's
for
not being,
sure.
It's not being assumed.
No, it is not, and I think people are very, very worried that they're not going to get 16 games or 17 games from Mark Andrews, and I don't blame them for being worried because you haven't got 17 games from him, but...
You don't worry about Isaiah Likely because the second he was back... He was a huge part of the offense.
No, I don't worry about Isaiah Likely. I think Likely can survive and do his own thing aside from Andrews. When you're the one in an offense, when you're the number one target in an offense, which Mark Andrews has been for his tenure with Lamar Jackson, that's not something where the backup tight end is going to steal those looks.
I'm going to throw this next question over. Let Papa Josh ask it. Instagram question there. Do you see it, Josh?
Yeah. Who has won the most League of Record titles between you three?
Unfortunately.
Well, that's a good question that you came up with.
Unfortunately, it's now a tie.
Woo-wee!
It's a tie.
Mike and I have three. Jason has two.
Yep.
So we got eight. Eight in 16
good.
Years. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I also.
That is eight in 16 years. That is above average.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Thanks for asking, Josh.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. If you count Josh, we have nine as a four pack. You know what I mean?
I would never.
Yeah.
Never.
Eight. We have eight.
I will count Jeremy's if he ever gets one.
We have. Oh, man. It's when he lowers.
So we will stay at eight.
It's when he lowers his chair a little bit over there. Into the ocean he goes. All right, YouTube question. This is a bunch of Keep Breece Hall questions, okay?
Okay.
Big Ham wants to know, you can keep Breece or Bijan. Who are you keeping? I've said it once, so I'll say it again. I'm going to keep Breece.
I don't blame you at all. If it is Dynasty, I'm on the Bijan side. Redraft, I think I'm on Breece.
Like we'll go read. We'll just do both. Why not? And
I think I'm Brees, with Jason. Brees.
I think I'm with Jason. That Bijan would be my dino pick, and Brees would be my redraft.
And then this YouTube question from Joe says, PPR 12 team keep one, Brees or Gibbs? It Brees. Is a full PPR.
It's
and I'm taking Brees.
I'll go Brees.
Yep.
Instagram question from Maddie. What do you think David Montgomery's role will be this season?
Refer to the 2023 tape.
Yeah. Or you can refer to the 2022 tape where Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a small step down from last year's output.
Okay, a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's more indicative of the second half of the season when he was almost like a Brian Robinson-style steady Eddie as opposed to a multi-touchdown breakout type of player. I don't know if he's – I mean, he could do it, right? He could have a huge run and he'll be fine. I still think he's very good.
Dude, it's so wild. So after his injury, so we have week 10 through 18, which is – that is 9 games played, and he did not score a rushing touchdown in 2 of them.
Yeah. I mean, it was
– But during that stretch, only one time was he inside the top 10 finishes, right?
Twice, but yes. Depending on what inside the top 10.
Yeah, is number 10 inside the top 10?
Yeah, because if you did a top 10 countdown, you would start at 10.
I need you to teach me how to say it the way I mean it.
You say in the top 9.
That doesn't work for me. I need a way to say the words top 10, but only mean the top 9.
Right, because that frames my argument better. Yeah, for sure.
But either way, you know what I'm saying. Like, he was even though he scored, like, games with a touchdown, 13th, finished at 13th, 15th, 17th, and 21st. That sounds like Brian Robinson to me.
Did not finish ahead of the top 10. He only finished ahead.
Oh, you were searching for me.
Of number 10 one time.
Not something inside, like, but ahead of.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. That's really tough.
Better than the top 10.
It just feels like lying.
It does.
You know what I mean?
But I'm trying to.
I know. We're trying to figure out how to lie.
3 catches on 3rd down on the whole year. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs is definitely the future. He's definitely the explosive game. But if you look at from the bye week on, David Montgomery was still going to put up 230 carries for 1,100 yards.
And most importantly.
And 10 touchdowns, or 13 touchdowns.
13 touchdowns. I mean, the touchdowns are what Jamal Williams did. Jamal Williams was much less special, but he had so many touchdowns.
Do you think he'll be undervalued?
I do. I think David Montgomery will absolutely be undervalued.
Right now, running back 20, if you're playing best ball, which is right around Ramondre, Nick Chubb, and Tony Pollard.
He finished as the running back 13, and he missed 3 games. Really, 4 games.
Yeah, it's tough, though, when you got a superstar.
Oh, I get it. That's why the ADP is going to be lower.
Yeah.
But it's baked in, right? That's the tip.
It's baked in, but it's also an unknown. It's just like, David Montgomery's utilization, we don't expect to change, but it could.
It could, but if it does change, I think he'll be about the running back 20 where he's being drafted.
Gotcha.
And yeah, in the upside case.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
He feels like, let's say the Gibbs and Monty are healthy all year long through a miracle. Montgomery's going to finish in the top 24, and then if Gibbs misses time, then you get huge boom opportunity.
Nate Kennedy wants to know, do you rename your team each season or choose a timeless name? I have a story for this.
Okay.
It will answer the question the way we have always answered it, but it will do it with an example. Our answer is we keep a name because you're building a dynasty, right? You're building a legend. I met somebody this past week at my daughter's softball practice, and it was a gentleman who plays a lot of fantasy football. This gentleman had CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek Hill as his wide receivers this past season. How do you think he finished?
Champion? I think he did pretty well.
He was not the champion because somebody in the league's name was CeeDee's Nuts. And he felt like he should probably help the dude out and trade him CeeDee Lamb so it matched his team name.
Wait, he did?
It was his best friend, and his best friend really wanted the player that his name was and then got CeeDee Lamb from him and then won the championship with CeeDee Lamb over him.
There's no best friends in fantasy football.
Well, that was one of the 18 things I explained to him. But
what did he get back?
not enough. Well, not clearly, enough.
There was no way midway through last year you could have received enough for CeeDee Lamb to have paid off in the
point
end.
The point being, well, it was right before his real run. The point being is that, like, if you have a team name that's based on a player, sometimes you don't trade that player away. If it's the inverse, apparently you can trade the player away. Look, we like, you know, I like the creative nicknames.
Yeah, they're fun if you're in.
But I like locking it down.
If you're in a full redraft, but it also is nice, like, not just for your own team. Like, I you know, I love, you know, having the Dead Ringers or having the Ventura Bravehearts as my teams, but I also like knowing everyone else's team and not having to spend the first couple weeks, because some leagues it's not like that I'm in, and everybody changes it, and I'm like, who is this?
I like this.
That being said, I changed my name to McCaffrey's Hill, so please trade me those players.
I like this from Jason, who has rebranded his team more than anyone else in the league.
You can rebrand every, you know.
That's changing your name.
Yeah, I mean, a franchise in the NFL goes through that. They do it too. We haven't had the Washington Commanders very long. I changed.
Was your previous name somewhat questionable?
I changed my co-manager.
You don't want to take that on.
No, it was the change of ownership.
Yeah, no, yours is, look.
It was a change of ownership at the top.
You don't have to be defensive. Your old name sucked.
What? No, my old name was great.
Oh, wait.
Well, which one?
Over 16 years, I've had three names.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but that's when we hit you with it. In the last 8 years, you've had three names.
Fair.
All right.
But yeah, keep your name. It's fun.
What? This isn't a real question. Dagger, how is Mike's hair so luscious? He's wearing a hat, guys.
It's because sometimes you got to contain it. Sometimes, look, when you have hair like this a day-to-day basis and you're walking down the street.
It's too much.
And cars are crashing.
Right.
People are falling over. It's too much sometimes.
How much of it is it? You sit next to Jason and you feel like.
I've absorbed his follicle nature.
No, you didn't absorb his hair. It's just that, do you feel like. You just cause kind of like a disproportionality of talent.
I want to teach you a lesson, talent. Mike. I want to teach you. I want to teach you how stupid you're being. The hat thing.
All right.
I want you to Google John Stamos in a hat, and I want you to and I want you to see someone that it does not matter. This is a human being that does not matter.
John Stamos
in a hat. Terrible.
Who is that? I don't know. I don't care. He looks stupid.
Wow, John Stamelson hat looks like a regular, just a regular old weirdo.
Just a regular old weirdo.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. He still looks great.
Just a dude. But you search John Stamos and you go, that's John Stamos.
Yeah, but me and John Stamos understand the power and the responsibility.
Honestly, him in a hat kind of looks like Bob Saget.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well be twins.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. Sometimes, take that hat off and shine.
Yeah, not today.
Well, not today. You've already got a hat on.
Feels like that's a Pixar movie waiting to happen. Somebody with like powerful hair, and then every time they take the hat off, it maybe not. All right.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop. Final question here. Instagram. Matt wants to know, Dynasty keep, trade, cut. Gus Edwards, Josh Palmer, Curtis Samuel. Well, come on.
I'm keeping Josh Palmer.
As am I.
Right now. It's really hard to imagine the Chargers cap situation bringing back both wide receivers as is. Now, they might restructure one of Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, but they might just cut Mike Williams. And if they do, Josh Palmer's shown some flashes, been good when one of the other two guys is injured, and so he's the easy keep for me.
Good-ish.
He's so weird. Josh Palmer is so weird.
So is Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, weird.
So is John Stamos in a hat. Weird.
Those players only perform when you don't expect them to, or when the situation is slightly weirder than you think. Like Palmer had a huge chance, remember, 2 years ago, and you're like, what's going on? But you know, I don't know. All right, any other questions for us, Brooks, that we have to answer? Anything you've got?
Nah, you got them.
You already said
nothing.
Final question.
Luscious hair related.
One last question.
All right, thanks for tuning in. Free Agent Frenzy next week. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you check out the Dynasty podcast. If you want more fantasy footballers, every Wednesday, check that out. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.